suggests that he was amazed at his hand or is where you're in an occupied territory. There are forces that are seeking to survive in a period of occupation, in a period of being dominated by a foreign power, and of groups angling for their position, groups willing to kill for their positions, including the high priest. Later, they would say, it was necessary for this man to die to save the nation. Jesus is the Son of God, but he is fully man. And he is fully aware of his humanity. He was not naive. The danger is there. It wasn't. Did you ever do something that people didn't approve of? Can you remember when you did that and then someone that was watching gave you the look? Sometimes it was only a parent. Wait till you go home. Don't make me stop this car. That was my father's favorite. Someone you want to show them who you are, you know, just maybe just stand a little taller or do whatever. But I'm not going to do it on a homicide basis. They all wanted to show me how bad they were. In the synagogue, the word has gotten out, and the Pharisees are there. The Sadducees are probably represented. Perhaps even Herodian waiting on the outside. Herodian for those who aligned with King Herod, who was in many ways a very evil man and ruthless. And this man comes in his need, a shriveled hand, the opportunity to return. Opportunity to feel whole. And the Pharisees are looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. Now, some of us actually from the south, I'd see the Pharisees, I'd see the man with the hand, not that I could heal, but if I could, I'd say, why don't we meet after worship in the back room? But Jesus says, stand up in front of everyone. And the Pharisees, by the way, they had an honored seat. They were like sort of lay preachers in the synagogue. And so, if they heard that someone wasn't saying the right thing, they would come to bring heat. Seated. save somebody or kill somebody. But just to understand how it was in those times with the Pharisees, the rules on Sabbath, and the Sabbath sort of became a representation of the Hebrews. It was a way of saying this is who we are and who we stand. And the Sabbath rule said that if you were injured, I could stop the bleeding. I was a doctor, if the bleeding would kill you. But I couldn't fix it till the next day. I could only do that which might save. In fact, if you were buried under a fallen house, they would dig you out. And if they felt that it was safe for you to stay there, they'd leave you under the rest of the rubble until the next day. Would you honor the Sabbath? So when he says good or evil, that you could do good things, you just couldn't go 2 months till the next day. Sabbath was that there were times when Jewish troops were trapped and they would not kill on the Sabbath. They would not defend themselves. There were some who wouldn't, some that wouldn't, and so that there was some out of that. But Jesus is confronting them. And what he's really saying is that to stare hatefully. You think in your hearts maybe that you need to kill me. Is that right? Or does it say it out from me? It just throws a question out there for them to look within. Because Jesus has come to save the people. And it's not uniformly. So he heals the man. And in so doing, it says they plotted to kill him. It says when there were audience who were probably outside, and they, for the good of the nation, the Jews would sacrifice Jesus. For the audience to retain power, they would sacrifice Jesus, and so they go into a plot. And the planning of the plot is that it sounds like they did it on the Sabbath. Because the violation of the Sabbath, and they did it with the Herodians, who would have been viewed as unclean by their own standards, and yet they plot to kill him. And Jesus has come to heal and to save them. He doesn't back into it. Like I said, it wouldn't take him in the back room after service and heal him. He brought it right up front. And with his questions, he proclaims his purpose. What an awesome act by our Lord. In so doing, at this point in time, his God, I wasn't the Savior. Which that wouldn't happen, but you all would have been in a world of hell. Like I said, you're in trouble. Angels. And Jesus is distressed and hurt, but he will not turn from his mission to save, to heal, to make us whole. And in the midst of this thing, I'm going to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. So he's a little bit sooner, and he goes to another house, and the crowd is following the disciples, and it's so busy that the disciples have no chance to eat. Telling the story, and how really important it is that Mark and Luke can see. Well, the market was, he was hungry. So he remembers, he's only going to see. And then it's just so basic of how you want to describe it. So the thing was, he has to eat. And he went on. And then it says his family, in the Greek, it's people that was close to him. Like family or family, later it's specifically family, and they say he's out of his mind. And you know why they're doing that? They've seen what he did. There's no one to be hurt. You know, if family or someone you love dearly, you do most anything to keep them from being hurt, wouldn't you? So you're trying to make excuses for Jesus. Which, by the way, is a very spiritual thing to do. Jesus doesn't need our excuses. And yet, how hurtful is it when those people that you count on don't back you? You know, they just say, he's out of his mind to help you. The teachers of the law, the Sadducees, who were some of the Pharisees a little bit, but they were more studying and whatnot. They say he is possessed by Beelzebub, something like that. But one of the meanings of that in Greek is Lord of the dumb. Jesus is about saving and healing and making whole and receiving and welcoming and embracing and loving us in our brokenness, in the parts of us that need healing, in the parts of us that we can't even find ourselves able to forgive ourselves. Passage, it goes on about driving out a demon. And as I said, when I worked in the prisons, if I didn't believe in demons, I did them. And I could tell you stories so gruesome that I suspect it would be hard to disagree about the degree of evil in some people. And he says that it's not even legal. Trying to drive out that which is evil, to bring forth that which is good. Really, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins. And every slander they utter, he gets a little dark. And he says, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, suggests about this and forgiveness. It's a lesson about Lucifer, a fallen angel, and it's a story from the Catholic tradition. A priest was in the country, and in his parish there came a extraordinarily handsome man in the church who came to him for confession. And the person's confession told of horrible sins and acts far beyond anything the priest could even imagine. And he said, "You must really have led some long life." And Lucifer said, "My name is Lucifer, and I fell from heaven at the beginning." "Even so, say that you're sorry, say that you repent, and even you can be forgiven." It's not about what you've done. It's about what God is willing to do for you. The story with Lucifer, after the priest says that, it says that Lucifer simply left. He refused to receive God's forgiveness. And Jesus comes and he calls us. There's so much in this chapter that I just would show these two more aspects of it. It says he appointed the 12. Looking at timing, Jesus is no fool. He knows he is a marked man. In the circumstances of the time, if you are a marked man, you will be. You'll face the consequences of that mark. Knows that his life on earth eventually will be taken from him. And he calls forth the 12. No Sadducees, no Pharisees, no great scholars, no great theologians, no famous people, fishermen, collaborators, zealous revolutionaries. Calls them and they come. And I have to love it. It says he appointed the 12. It says he went up on the mountainside and he called to them. And those who denied, and they came to him and he appointed the 12. The 12, the means of his message. The means of his message. Get the sense of it. If Jesus was here, he came.